Have you ever thought about Bhutan? You know, tucked away in the Himalayas, famous for that whole gross national happiness thing,
Right.
right? And being super into preserving the environment.
Yeah, for sure. Beautiful place.
It really gets you thinking, you know, what's the future look like for a country like that? Because they're at this fascinating economic crossroads. And get this, Bitcoin is somehow part of the equation.
Really? That's interesting. You don't usually picture those two together, right? Bhutan, with all its traditions and focus on well-being, and then you have this cutting-edge tech like Bitcoin.
Exactly. And that's why we're doing this deep dive. We're going deep, not just scratching the surface. Our listeners want the real deal.
They want substance.
They want to understand how Bitcoin, this whole decentralized thing, could actually play a role in Bhutan's economy long term. And not just play a role, but do it in a way that fits with their values, you know, what makes Bhutan unique.
Makes sense. Well, for anyone listening who's maybe not a total Bitcoin whiz, don't worry, we'll break down the essentials as we go. We're going to focus on how it all applies to Bhutan specifically.
Okay, so first things first, Bitcoin. Decentralized. No central bank, no government pulling the strings. What does that even mean for a country like Bhutan? What's the immediate takeaway there?
Well, I think the biggest thing is resilience. Think about it. Traditional financial systems, they can be really vulnerable to whatever's going on globally, right? Central banks make decisions, governments make policies. Things can get unstable.
Yeah, for sure.
Bitcoin, because of how it's designed, it kind of sidesteps some of that, offers a different kind of safety net financially, a different foundation to build on.
Right. And then there's that whole limited supply thing. Only 21 million bitcoins
Yeah.
ever, right? Why should Bhutan care about that?
It's about scarcity built in. That limited supply, it's meant to protect against inflation, you know, when governments just print more money and currencies can get manipulated.
Yeah.
This provides a safeguard. Whatever Bitcoin Bhutan might hold, the value is theoretically protected.
Okay, makes sense. And the blockchain. Gotta talk about the blockchain. It's this underlying technology, this distributed ledger. What's the key point our listeners need to grasp about that?
Okay, picture this. A record book, completely transparent, can't be tampered with. Everyone in the world can see it, but no one person controls it.
Okay.
Every single Bitcoin transaction, it gets written in this book. It's digital, of course, but it's spread out across a huge network of computers and protected by some seriously complex cryptography.
So that's where that trust factor comes in.
Exactly. It's virtually impossible to hack, to change anything. So you have the system built on trust, and you don't need some big central authority to make it work.
Interesting. So we've got this thing not tied to any government, and Bhutan's got these strong ties with India, especially on the economic and monetary side.
Yeah.
How could Bitcoin, this non-sovereign asset, fit into that picture? What does it add to their strategy?
Diversification. It's like having multiple baskets for your eggs, right? Their relationship with India is essential, absolutely. But adding Bitcoin to the mix gives them something that's not directly influenced by whatever economic policies India might implement.
Okay, yeah.
Another tool in the toolbox, you could say, adds flexibility.
Not putting all their eggs in one basket. I like it. But security, always a big question with digital currencies. How does Bitcoin actually keep things safe?
Well, for starters, it uses incredibly sophisticated cryptography. That's like the lock on the door. But then, on top of that, you have this whole global network of computers that has to validate every single transaction.
Checks and balances.
Exactly. So to successfully attack the system, you'd need to control a massive amount of computing power, like way more than any one person or group realistically could. It just becomes way too costly, way too difficult to even attempt.
So it's kind of like security by sheer scale.
You could say that, yeah.
And I've heard this term proof of work. How does that play into the security side of things?
So proof of work, think of it as a puzzle, a really, really hard puzzle that takes a ton of energy and computing power to solve.
Okay.
These miners, they're using their computers to solve these puzzles, essentially, to validate new blocks of transactions. That effort, that cost, it acts as a deterrent. Nobody wants to waste all that energy trying to cheat the system when it's so difficult and expensive. And for Bhutan, this is a benefit because they're essentially plugging into a global security system that's already in place. They don't have to build it themselves.
Right, so it's baked into the whole network.
Yeah.
Now, what about transparency? We talk about the blockchain being transparent. How does that matter for a country like Bhutan? they already have a pretty good reputation for low corruption.
That's a good point. I think the interesting thing here is that this inherent transparency, it could actually make things even stronger.
Like reinforce it.
Yeah, exactly. It reinforces the trust in their financial system. Every transaction is recorded publicly. It's auditable. So even if someone wanted to try something shady, it's right there for everyone to see.
Accountability.
Accountability. It's like a built-in check and balance against financial mismanagement. It just adds another layer of security.
Yeah, it's like a permanent record, even if you don't know exactly who's behind each transaction. Okay, let's switch gears a bit. Financial inclusion. This is a big one. How could Bitcoin help more people in Bhutan access financial services?
This is where it gets really exciting, I think. The thing about Bitcoin is you don't need a physical bank. No need to go to a branch to open an account.
So people in remote areas, they're not excluded automatically.
Exactly. All you really need is a smartphone, internet access.
And Bhutan has that in spades, right? We've talked about their high mobile internet penetration.
That's right. And that's huge. People can do transactions, store their money, send and receive payments all from their phones. No geographical limitations. And they can potentially avoid the fees that come with traditional banking.
And for developing economies, those cross-border payments, remittances, they're super important. Where does Bitcoin fit into that?
Well, Bitcoin has the potential to make those remittances way cheaper and faster.
How so?
Traditional methods, you've got all these intermediaries involved, banks, money transfer services, slows things down and it racks up the fees.
Yeah, I've been there. It's not fun.
With Bitcoin, those transactions can be a lot quicker and the fees are usually much lower. That's a win for individuals and it can have a positive ripple effect on the whole economy.
Interesting. So Bhutan has made some progress with financial inclusion. We know that. How could Bitcoin really take that progress to the next level, especially for those folks in the more remote parts of the country?
There are still gaps for sure. Reports show that access to banks is much lower in rural areas compared to urban centers.
Makes sense.
But Bitcoin, because it can be used on phones, it can reach those underserved populations. You don't need to build a bank branch in a remote village. People already have the technology.
Right. So build on what's there instead of starting from scratch. That's smart. Okay, let's zoom out even further now. How could Bitcoin play a role in the bigger picture of economic growth and innovation in Bhutan?
When a country embraces Bitcoin, blockchain technology, it sends a signal, right? It shows the world that they're forward-thinking, open to new ideas, especially in these cutting-edge fields.
Yeah, that makes sense.
And that can be a big draw for foreign investment.
Especially because we know Bhutan is trying to diversify its economy, bring in more foreign direct investment.
Exactly. And by engaging with Bitcoin, they're signaling that they're interested in that specific type of investment, that kind focused on blockchain, crypto, all of that.
Yeah, targeted.
Targeted, yeah.
Yeah.
That can lead to new businesses popping up, new jobs, especially skilled jobs, and it can foster this whole culture of innovation in the financial sector. Plus, Bitcoin itself, it can be a store of value for individuals, maybe even as part of national reserves.
Okay, so we've talked about Bitcoin in a broad sense.
Yeah.
Let's bring it back to Bhutan. Their economy right now, what are the main things driving it?
The big players are hydropower, agriculture, forestry, and tourism. Hydropower, that's a major one. Tons of revenue from exporting electricity to India. And tourism, their approach is interesting. High value, low volume. They want to keep the environmental impact low, you know?
Quality over quantity.
Exactly.
But I get the sense that their economy, it can be a bit sensitive to things outside their control.
That's true. Relying on those sectors makes them vulnerable to things like weather patterns, global events. Tourism took a hit during the pandemic, for instance. And hydropower depends on how much rainfall they get.
So they're looking for more stability, more options.
Yeah.
And this leads to that really interesting idea, using excess hydropower for Bitcoin mining. Could that actually work?
It has potential. Here's the thing. Bhutan gets a lot of hydropower in the summer, snow melt and all. But coincidentally, demand for electricity in India might be lower during those same months.
So they have this surplus.
Exactly. And instead of that clean energy just going to waste, they could use it to power Bitcoin mining operations. Mining uses a lot of electricity, but if it's clean energy, it becomes less of an issue. And it creates this whole new revenue stream for Bhutan, one that's counter-seasonal. So it balances out their reliance on things like tourism.
Wow, that's pretty clever. Turn a potential problem into a solution.
Yeah.
So let's talk about what Bhutan already has in place, their financial system. What does that look like right now?
It's still developing, but it's growing. They've got commercial banks, insurance companies, microfinance institutions, even a relatively new stock exchange, and they've been putting a lot of effort into expanding financial inclusion.
And we keep coming back to this, but that high mobile internet penetration, that's going to be a huge asset for them, right?
Absolutely. It really lays the groundwork for any kind of digital financial service.
Yeah.
Most people already have smartphones that are connected to the internet, so the barrier to entry for something like Bitcoin is much lower.
They're already halfway there. Okay, so Bhutan, they've got these core industries, some vulnerabilities, a developing financial sector. What are some of the biggest challenges they face as they try to grow their economy?
Well, a big one is their private sector. It's relatively small. Youth unemployment is a concern. And of course, there's that concentration in a few key industries.
Which we talked about, the vulnerability there.
Exactly. And then there's the brain drain. Talented young people leaving to find better opportunities elsewhere. That's a tough one to tackle.
So where could Bitcoin fit into solving some of those problems?
That's where things get interesting. Think about the Bitcoin mining industry, the whole digital asset space. These are new industries that could create jobs in Bhutan. And not just any jobs, skilled jobs.
What kind of skills are we talking about?
Oh, all sorts. You need people who understand the hardware, software development, data analysis. These are valuable skills.
So you're attracting talent, potentially keeping talent from leaving.
Potentially, yeah. It gives people a reason to stay, to build a career in these cutting-edge fields. And it's not just about mining. It's the whole ecosystem that could develop around digital assets.
It branches out.
Exactly.
Now, we did touch on infrastructure limitations. And I know Bhutan has some restrictions when it comes to accessing international markets.
Right. Those are ongoing challenges. But the government has been proactive. They're working on diversifying the economy, encouraging foreign investment, especially in these newer digital sectors. And the Jelafu Mindfulness City, that's a perfect example of this forward-thinking approach.
And the GMC, it seems like they're really leaning into digital assets, right?
Oh, absolutely. They've made it very clear that digital assets are part of their strategic framework.
It's like a core part of their identity.
You could say that. They want to create this crypto-friendly environment, and they're even planning to hold Bitcoin, other major digital assets, as part of their reserves. It's a bold move, and it's definitely going to attract attention from companies involved in the blockchain space.
So the pieces are all starting to fall into place here. We've looked at the challenges, the opportunities. Now, let's get specific. How could Bitcoin actually fuel Bhutan's economic engine? What are those potential symbiotic relationships?
One big area is cross-border transactions. Bitcoin has the potential to make those transactions way more efficient, way cheaper compared to what they're using now.
Especially for their trade with India.
Especially for that. Lower fees, faster processing times for imports and exports. That's a win for businesses, for consumers. It can make the whole economy more competitive.
And we talked about attracting foreign investment, but it seems like that's especially relevant here with this focus on digital assets.
It's huge. When Bhutan engages with Bitcoin, with mining, it signals that they're serious about embracing this technology, and that attracts a very specific type of investor, the people who are excited about blockchain, who are looking for opportunities in this space.
And it's not just about the money coming in. It's also about the skills that come with it, right?
Absolutely. As these new businesses grow, as the industry develops in Bhutan, you're building a skilled workforce. People are learning valuable skills that can be applied in other areas of the economy as well.
It's an investment in the future.
Exactly.
And then there's this whole idea of Bhutan becoming a leader in green crypto mining. Is that really feasible?
I think it is. They have this incredible advantage with their hydropower. It's abundant, it's clean, and it's perfect for powering energy-intensive activities like Bitcoin mining.
So they're addressing one of the big criticisms of crypto, the environmental impact.
Exactly. And that gives them a competitive edge. The world is becoming more and more focused on sustainability, and Bhutan can position itself as a leader in this space. Clean energy powering the future of finance, it's a powerful narrative.
It's a good look. So it's not just about participating, it's about leading by example. What about the impact on Bhutan's own financial system? Could this drive innovation within Bhutan itself?
Absolutely. When you recognize Bitcoin as a legitimate asset class, it opens up a whole world of possibilities. You can start to see new financial services emerging, new industries popping up, all built around these digital assets.
Like a whole new ecosystem.
Exactly. And Bhutan is already taking steps in this direction. The Royal Monetary Authority, they've got this FinTech Bhutan initiative. They've created a regulatory sandbox, a space where companies can experiment with new ideas. They're laying the groundwork.
So they're not just talking, they're doing.
Right.
And at the end of the day, how does this benefit the average person in Bhutan?
Well, Bitcoin gives individuals more control over their own money. It operates outside of traditional financial structures.
So less reliance on banks.
Potentially, yes. And this can be especially beneficial for people who haven't been well served by traditional banking. You know, maybe they live in a remote area. Maybe they don't have the necessary documents to open an account.
The barriers are lower.
Exactly. And in Bhutan, with all those smartphones out there, it becomes even easier. People can download a Bitcoin wallet on their phone and they're good to go. They can save, they can transact, they can participate in this whole new digital economy.
So it's empowerment. It's giving people options. I like it.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so we've talked about the potential, but Bhutan isn't just sitting back and watching. They're actually involved in the digital currency space already. Let's talk about that.
They're definitely not just dipping their toes in the water. They've been strategically mining Bitcoin through their investment arm, Druk Holdings and Investments. And they've been doing it for a while now. Reports suggest they started back in 2018 or 2019.
So they're early adopters in a way.
You could say that. And they're not just mining a little bit. They're holding a substantial amount of Bitcoin. For a country their size, it's really significant.
Do we have any idea how much we're talking?
Estimates are over $1 billion. That could put them among the top governmental holders globally.
That's a serious commitment. And it's not just sitting there, right? They've actually put this Bitcoin to use.
Right. There have been reports that they've used some of their holdings to fund things like civil servant salary increases. So they're finding practical applications for it, which is really interesting.
It's not just a theoretical asset. So it seems like their strategy is different from some other countries. It's not about making Bitcoin legal tender. It's about mining it. Holding it like a national reserve.
Exactly. And it's not just about Bitcoin either. They're exploring the whole digital currency landscape. The Royal Monetary Authority, they've partnered with Ripple to pilot a central bank digital currency, the digital Ngultrum.
So they're not putting all their eggs in one basket.
Right. And that's smart. They're experimenting. They're seeing what works. And they're doing it carefully, thoughtfully.
They're not rushing into anything. And we talked about regulation. It seems like they were pretty early in recognizing the need for that.
Oh, yeah. Back in 2019, they set up a regulatory sandbox specifically for crypto mining. It shows that they were thinking ahead, trying to create a space where innovation could happen safely.
So controlled experimentation. And of course, there's the Jellafew Mindfulness City. They're taking things a step further there, right?
Absolutely. Their plan to recognize Bitcoin, Ethereum, BNB, these major digital assets as part of their strategic reserves. It's a bold move, and it really shows how committed they are to this whole space.
It's a big statement. So it seems like Bhutan has this early mover advantage in some ways, but there are going to be challenges as they try to navigate wider adoption of Bitcoin, right? What are some of the big ones?
Well, for all the advantages we've talked about, internet connectivity is still key. They have that high mobile penetration rate, which is great, but ensuring that everyone has consistent, reliable internet access, especially in those remote areas, that's going to be crucial.
It's the foundation.
It is. And then there's digital literacy. It's not just about having the technology. People need to understand how to use it safely, responsibly.
So education is a big part of this.
Huge. And while their overall digital literacy rates are decent, there's always room for improvement, specifically focusing on digital finance, cryptocurrencies. That's going to be important.
And the regulatory landscape. That's still evolving, right?
It is. We talked about their cautious approach. While they've been involved in mining, they haven't gone all in on Bitcoin just yet.
They're being careful.
Right. But creating a clear, supportive regulatory framework, one that protects consumers but also encourages innovation, that's going to be essential for wider adoption. And I think the framework they're developing in the GMC, that could be a good model for the rest of the country.
And thing to build on.
Exactly. And they can also learn from other countries, see what's worked, what hasn't.
There's a lot of experimentation happening around the world.
Right. And on top of all of that, public awareness. making sure people understand Bitcoin, how it works, the potential benefits, the risks. That's crucial. You can have the best technology, the best regulations in the world, but if people don't understand it, they're not going
to
use it.
They need to buy in.
They do.
And of course, we can't ignore the risks. Crypto is volatile. We know that. And there are security threats, hacking, scams.
Very real concerns. Robust security measures are essential. And educating people, helping them understand how to protect themselves, that's a must.
Being proactive.
Absolutely. And then there's the potential for illicit activities. Strong AML, KYC protocols. They need to have those in place as adoption grows.
So it's a balancing act, right? You want to encourage innovation, but you also need to protect people. It seems like Bhutan's approach, starting with government-led mining, that's given them a good foundation, a controlled way to learn and adapt.
I think so. It's allowed them to get comfortable with the technology, understand the risks, put some safeguards in place. And as they move towards wider adoption, they can build on that experience.
So it's always helpful to look at what other countries are doing, learn from their successes, their mistakes. What can Bhutan learn from other developing economies that have explored Bitcoin?
There are some great case studies out there. El Salvador, they made Bitcoin legal tender. It's been a bumpy road, but they've learned a lot along the way.
It's been a bold experiment.
It has. Then you have Nigeria. They've seen really high adoption rates, driven in part by remittances, people using it to hedge against inflation.
So different use cases, different contexts.
Exactly. And Argentina, they've seen a surge in Bitcoin adoption, largely because people are looking for a safe haven for their money, given their economic instability.
So different motivations.
Right.
So what are the key takeaways for Bhutan? What can they learn from all of this?
I think a few key themes emerge. First, play to your strengths. Bhutan has that renewable energy advantage. That's huge.
They're already leveraging that.
Right. Second, don't rush. They don't need to jump straight to legal tender like El Salvador. A gradual, measured approach is probably wiser.
Being strategic.
Exactly. And then really focus on those areas where Bitcoin can make a difference. Financial inclusion, remittances, those are big ones. And of course, education, regulation, those have to be top priorities. Bhutan's current path with the mining, the GMC, it aligns with that gradual, well-managed approach, which I think is smart.
So it's about finding the right fit.
Right.
What works for one country might not work for another. It feels like we've painted a pretty optimistic picture here.
Yeah.
What's the ultimate potential for Bitcoin to contribute to Bhutan's national goals?
It's exciting. Bitcoin offers a unique path for them to achieve sustainable economic growth, to diversify away from those vulnerabilities we talked about.
It gives them options.
It does, and it aligns so well with their values. Using clean energy for mining fits their environmental focus. Financial inclusion supports their commitment to social equity, and it all ties into their goal of becoming a high-income nation by 2034.
And that whole gross national happiness thing, it's not just about economic growth, right?
It's about well-being. It's about creating a society where everyone has the opportunity to thrive. And Bitcoin, used thoughtfully, it can be a part of that. It can contribute to sustainable development, to empowerment.
And Bhutan, they have this chance to be a leader, right? Mm-hmm. Show the world that it's possible to embrace these new technologies in a way that aligns with your values.
Absolutely. They're already showing a lot of leadership. Their approach, it's thoughtful, it's strategic, and it's grounded in their unique philosophy. It's inspiring, really. It shows that there's not just one way to approach this. Each country can find its own path, its own balance between tradition and innovation.
It's like a case study in mindful development. It really makes you think. Imagine, you know, a world where other countries look to Bhutan, learn from their example. How a nation's values, its resources, can shape its journey in this whole new digital world.
It's a powerful idea.
And who knows what other unexpected combinations we'll see. Tradition and technology, maybe they're not so different after all. So in this deep dive, we've explored Bhutan's fascinating relationship with Bitcoin. We've seen how it could help them diversify their economy, promote financial inclusion, and really push them forward technologically. We've talked about the challenges, the opportunities, the lessons they can learn from others. It's a complex picture, but it's a really exciting one. And we hope you've gained a clear understanding of this unique intersection of a nation and this groundbreaking technology. And as you go about your day, think about that last thought we left you with. How do values and resources shape a country's path in this rapidly evolving world of digital finance? What other surprising partnerships might we see in the future? Thanks for joining us for this deep dive.
Thanks for having me. It's been a pleasure.